How come you didn't go to Jane Clark for money?
She got 4, 3, 2.
Stand by, please.
Oh, hold on. All right, one more time. In 5.
What? That was a verbal knockdown.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Warren, talk to me a little bit about Feller. We mentioned, you mentioned him. He was obviously one of the great pitchers of your era. Talk to us about you looking at Bob Feller as a pitcher. Tell us what
you... Well, you know, Bob came up before I did, and I heard all the things about how hard he threw and whatever. And, you know, he was all those things. And he was a little bit past his prime when we played Cleveland in the World Series. And... I've been with Bob, and I've been in All-Star games or whatever with him, and he's a very proud guy. And you know, he talks about throwing his fastball faster than a racehorse could run. Then they used a motorcycle to test how fast he ran. Of course, we didn't have the gun in those days, but Bob had a great curveball to go along with that fastball, and he was a workhorse too. That I used to love to see how he strutted around the mound, arrogance personified.
But now DiMaggio told me that if you waited long enough, Feller would throw the fastball. And Joe said, I just had to wait, and he tried to throw it by me. That reflected some of that macho, I can throw my fastball by Joe DiMaggio. You didn't seem to have that. You didn't try to... throw things by people.
You the just hitter to... tells you a story, and yeah. And if you don't throw it by him, you back up third base. But no, I think I relied on change of speeds more than Bob. As a matter of fact, Nolan Ryan, I was Nolan's pitching coach at Anaheim when he was there, and I tried to get him to throw his curveball and his change to set up his fastball. But Nolan had such a big ego, he wanted to strike people out instead of win. Yeah. And that's no reflection on Nolan per se, but just the art of pitching. I think guys have God-gifted talent like a Feller or a Ryan, and they overlook the fact that pitching is an art.
How about Eddie Lopez? Some people say he was as smart and crafty.
Sure he was.
And like you, thought about what he was doing, had a strategy.
Well, when you have no talent, you have to lean on something. No, Eddie is a good friend of mine, and we talked a lot, and he used to turn the ball over and do all sorts of things and change speeds, but he was a winner.
Yeah.
And give me a winner rather than a 180-mile fastball. And that's where Lopat comes in. Allie Reynolds was a good friend of mine that... pitch for the Yankees. You know, they had some great talent over there.
So the theme is constant. You're a pitcher, and you thought about it. You go to the World Series, but you're still adding pitches. Did you just wake up one day and say, I need a screwball, I need a slider,
or
you just keep experimenting and changing?
As I say, the hitter tells you a story. And if that story says that this guy can hit the ball from the middle of the plate in, you're going to pitch away from him. And that's what I was referring about pitchers watching guys hit in batting practice. The hitter will tell you what he can and cannot do. And I think pitchers are able to change better than a hitter can, because the hitter's got one speed, he gets the bat through the strike zone and whatever. He can change the way he changes his feet and that sort of thing, but hitting is a talent. And I don't think it's something that can be cultivated as much and other than ability. And I remember pitching against Joe DiMaggio in the All-Star game, and with that wide spread he had hitting, and where he held the bat, I felt like I could throw a fastball by him inside. And he hit a double down the left field line in Ebbets Field. I didn't go back in there again either. But yeah, hitters tell you a story. And I think good hitters see the ball better than others. Or maybe they pick up the rotation or whatever it is. And you know, everybody I hear talk about hitting is that you don't look at the pitcher's motion, but you wait, see the ball, and then hit it. And I think that's true. And that's a discipline that a lot of guys don't have. And I think slumps are self-inflicted, that a guy starts worrying about the fact that he isn't hitting, and he prolongs that slump. Well, the same thing could apply to pitching, too.
Is there a pitching slump? Can you get in a slump pitching?
I think you get a little hitch in your motion or in your rhythm. Yeah, pitchers lose rhythm, and you got to find it. And when I was warming up to pitch a ball game, the first thing I would do is throw to get my arm loose, of course, and then feel the release of the ball and where the ball went when I threw it and what kind of tools I had to pitch the ball game with.
Is that why pitchers are often vulnerable in the first inning, because they haven't got their rhythm?
I think it's a good part of it, yes. I was one of those people. I had somewhat trouble in the first inning. And
I remember I asked you about it. You said the mound had a difference. It takes a while to get used
to it. The mound in the bullpen and the mound on the mound are different. And yeah, you have to get acclimated. And then, it's just like reading a book. You got to get the first out before you can pitch the ball game. And then you got to add the second out and the third out. And all of a sudden you're in trouble, and now you got the good hitters coming up. That's not the place to be. You've got to get that first guy out.
So if you got a 1-2-3 inning in the first, you would feel that you're really often sailing. And if you had trouble, you felt you had to overcome it.
Right. Well, think of it this way. If I get the first three guys out in the first inning, now I make a leadoff hitter out of the fourth hitter, which wasn't what the manager intended. And you go 4-5-6. Now you got the bottom end of the lineup coming up in the third inning, and that's all in your favor. But that little innocent base on balls or that pitch that you made a mistake with, they can come back and haunt you. And it's a funny thing, in the ninth inning, if you've struggled through the ball game, you always face those good hitters in the ninth inning.
How about pitch count? It's a big thing now. Did you pay any attention to how many pitches you threw?
No.
Did anybody count in your day? Did the pitching coach or anybody count?
Well, for what reason? Everything today is predicated on preventing sore arms and the five-man rotation and counting the pitches. Well, we got more sore arms now than we ever had in history.
Absolutely right.
And it's because pitchers never get their arms in shape. And how about the shortstop? How about the second baseman, the third baseman? They throw every day. Why doesn't a pitcher? And I think baseball has made cripples out of pitchers, yeah, or freaks. And I don't think it's right.
Warren, in those years, I mean, after 48, you had some terrific years before you got back to the World Series again about 10 years later. In those early years of your career, were you at the top of your pitching game, or when you had so many great years as you got older, which was the greatest Warren Spahn? Was it those years or the later year?
I have no idea, Faye. When I first came to the big leagues, I felt like I could throw pretty good. I was a high fastball pitcher. I threw a fastball, curveball, and a change. And as the years went on, I learned to pitch low in the strike zone. Burdett used to say the best pitch in baseball is the one that looks like a strike and then isn't. And I think that stuck there too. And you play with the ego of the hitter, you get street sense or smart. And there's some hitters that are disciplined, some aren't. You have to know those people. I think it's important that you know as much about the personality of the hitter as well as yourself. And some guys are egotists, some guys will swing at anything when they get two strikes on them. Some guys are tough when they got two strikes on them. So they come in different categories.
Now, someone said baseball is all about adjustment. It sounds to me as if you were consistently adjusting your equipment or your speed or your the baseball you threw changed, but you were obviously always thinking, and so your the intelligence part adjusted to whatever changes were going on with you physically. Is that fair?
Well, I thank you for the compliment. Let me ask you this. What does a pitcher have to do from April till October? Think pitching. And if I don't think my career and my job, what the heck am I thinking about? Where I'm going to eat that night? Or?
But I see kids today throw 3-1 to a good pitcher, I mean a good hitter with two men on base, and they throw him a fastball. And I say...
Because they can't get anything else over.
Why would you do that? Yeah, exactly.
Because they can't get anything else over. I think there are categories. There are pitchers, there are throwers, and freaks. And I don't want to be classified in any of those. I want to be able to think with the other manager. I want to be able to understand what he's going to do if so and so happens. And base on balls is a big part of it. That you want to eliminate situations before they happen. And I think too, I'm pitching this inning, thinking about next inning. Mm-hmm. And if I get the eighth hitter out in the second or third inning, then I got the pitcher leading off the next inning. And I don't want to take liberties with that eighth hitter because I got the pitcher coming up next. You know, it's like the book, and you got to take care of this for that to happen. And as the game goes on, you know exactly what's going to happen, or you get a good idea about it.
Is there any challenge in...
We're rolling.
You're rolling?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any difference in the challenge you're facing a lineup of hitters who aren't even thinking along with you?
Sure,
or
a lot
is
of
it
those.
Is it more fun? Was it more fun to face a Ted Williams knowing that he's in lockstep than it's a chess match?
Facing Ted Williams was a challenge. And not a very happy one either. But again, let's take the plus and the minus. Ted never played in the World Series.
46.
I'm sorry, 46. I beg your pardon. But what I'm trying to get at is that good people usually rise to the occasion. And I think there's a part of a hitter that has to be selfish. I think opportunist, if you will. And isn't it amazing that Doubleday faced or put all these people where the percentages are? And then we deviate from that order. And I think the timing of the hitter's swing determines whether that ground ball goes between first and second or at the second baseman, or maybe at the first baseman. But good hitters seem to have that knack of hitting the ball in between the infielders or the outfielders. And that's a timing mechanism. And if you go a step further with that, when I was in a mode where I felt I could forecast what was going to happen, I would move the shortstop over towards second base when I know that the hitter's gonna hit it there. And what a great feeling that is. When you know that you can make the hitter hit the ball where you want him to hit it. And that's when the game is fun. The tough